what's at stake and the food he makes. It's the Morning Show with Eric Scott.
So how'd you spend your Father's Day? We'll compare notes. Violence returns to Delaney Hall, where a protester was struck by a vehicle during anti-ICE demonstrations. Jersey Shore fighting back against the pop-up party chaos. Is New Jersey becoming too expensive for business? And Europe's obsession with ranch dressing. All of that and more ahead on this Monday. Jenner Silla with your news updates. Bob Williams and Jill Myra. Traffic every 15 minutes. Board up Kathy, producer Thomas behind the scenes, and chief meteorologist Dan Zarrow is here. So we're going to see some stormy weather today, Dan.
Yeah, it looks like it. And this is like that classic double-edged sword situation, right? We've got 70% of the state in severe drought right now. So we're still in a need the rain situation.
Yeah.
But this could be too much too fast if we get, you know, an inch and a half to 2 inches of rain, which pretty much every forecast model is spitting out somewhere in the state. You know, flooding could be a concern starting right around this evening's commute, and we could have some severe weather in terms of wind gusts, and even the tornado parameters are elevated later today.
And what is the timing here, Dan? When are most folks should have the hatches battened down?
Yeah, so there's going to be one round of spotty rain that comes in this morning that's moving through Pennsylvania right now. That is not the main event. There could be some, you know, steadier rain in there. There could be some rumbles of thunder, but that's not the big deal. It's after 3 or 4 o'clock today, this afternoon into this evening. That's when the worst of it will come through. And, you know, we're feeding off the heat and humidity in the atmosphere. It is officially summer now.
Oh.
So summer thunderstorms, severe weather, that's something we just have to deal with this time of
year. Well, spring in the rearview mirror, we have had, I think, a really nice spring this year.
We had a spring.
Yeah,
that's right. The best thing you could say after what a winter we had.
Right.
But, you know, spring is a transition season. It's supposed to be about variety. And we had some cool weather. We had some hot weather. We didn't see a lot of wet weather, again, with the continuing drought conditions. But that means it was mostly dry and mostly nice, right? Yeah, so I'll agree with that.
My tomato plants have been loving the weather.
Okay.
You know, and I don't have a garden anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. We have garden beds. But my tomatoes are in pots, and I have 3 of them. And all of a sudden, they just bloomed over the weekend. And,
good.
You know, hopefully we got a good crop coming in.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, agriculture is going to be hard this summer. Not only do we have that drought, but, you know, that late season freeze in April, that's a big deal in the New Jersey ag community. So we're going to have to see how, I know peaches are potentially affected.
Yeah.
You know, that it's going to be a tough year for New Jersey farmers because of those two things, unfortunately.
All right, Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow, keep us updated on the timing of this storm. And, you know, in terms of agriculture, Sandra and I, we, on, what was it, Saturday? Saturday, we went to the Cherry Grove Farm Store, and it's on Route 206 North in Lawrence. And it's a great organic farm. And if you have a farm stand, if you have a farm market or something like that out there, stop by and take a look. I mean, we went in there initially to get the local honey to hopefully help with our allergies. And they had honey in there that was produced in Stockton and I think Bordentown and in Lawrence, the town that I live in. And we'll see. I mean, a lot of people have recommended that for allergies. But just the variety of stuff. I mean, there was enough stuff in there that, you know, we made a locally sourced charcuterie tray on Saturday, which was nice, and then had some stuff left over for Sunday on Father's Day. And then, you know, you'll find little farm stands, and your farmers this year could really use the help. You get really good locally sourced produce, and in this particular farm stand, they produce beef and pork and chicken as well, but just some really cool stuff. And even if you're looking for cut flowers, you know, you can find that out there. But it is going to be a tough season for farmers in the Garden State this year because of that freeze that we had. And you've heard us talk about that multiple times. So if you've got a farm stand, if you've got a farm market, something like that around you, give them a look because you'll find some great stuff and you'll be helping a family business stay afloat here in New Jersey. All right. So when we come back here for a second, what did you do on Father's Day? What was the most rewarding thing that happened for you on Father's Day? And I'll tell you what mine was. And maybe you had the same experience. But what was it that made your Father's Day special? And a little later on this morning, we are going to talk about the Europeans' obsession with ranch dressing. And do you give ranch dressing a thumbs up or thumbs down? I have a very strong opinion about ranch dressing. And we'll talk about that this morning as well, and what the TSA had to say to the Europeans and what the response has been. That's all coming up here. And don't forget, we got our big announcement coming up at 10:15 this morning with Judy and EJ. You're going to want to be tuned into the radio to hear this today. It is going to be an epic announcement. That's coming up at 10:15 this morning with Judy and EJ. It is 6:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Traffic and weather in 3 minutes.
Open phones, real opinions. This is New Jersey's Conversation. Call 800-283-1015 or connect with us on the New Jersey 101.5 app.
Yep, 6:21 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill has taken this Monday off. He'll be back with us tomorrow. He had the opportunity to spend Father's Day with both of his kids. I'm jealous. My oldest son won't be back until August. He's working in Florida, although I had a wonderful day yesterday with my youngest son, who's really in a time of transition. You know, he's getting ready to move into his first apartment alone, getting ready to start a new job in August. And, you know, as you watch your kids grow up and hit these milestones, I think Father's Day becomes even more special. Dan, you still got little ones running around the house.
I do.
So I imagine you did not have a quiet, do-nothing Father's Day.
I wish. The kids fought, but we stayed home.
Yeah.
You know, my wife wanted to have grandiose plans and stuff. I'm like, please don't. Please go.
Yeah, right.
Just make me a lasagna and we'll call it a day. And that's exactly what we did. And it was delicious, for the record. And that was it, you know. And I know what you're talking about, milestones. I mean, my oldest is graduating elementary school this year.
Even
so I'm
wrap my head
just
around
starting
that.
To feel that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you remember when he was born.
That
was just after I started working here. So, he's 11 now, and he might be as tall as you, Eric.
I think so.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
So it was fairly quiet, and that's fine. It doesn't have it, in my world, Father's Day does not have to be a big deal. It's just a nice quiet day at home is fine.
I prefer that.
Yeah.
And you know, when we were talking about this on Jersey thing last week, there were some people that were really giving me crap about, well, what do you mean you don't want to go anywhere and do anything? And then I had you could tell the dads were like, yeah, that's right. Stay home. Don't do anything.
I got beautiful handmade cards from all four of my boys.
Awesome.
And, you know, Griffin, this magnificent card that had this enormous trophy that he must have used an entire yellow marker coloring in this trophy. And it got me a little choked up that it was very nice. They thought of me and really were thoughtful in the cards.
Now, do you box that stuff up and save it?
So I'm in the process of moving my home office,
okay,
as you know.
Yep.
So I have a bulletin board in my office where I usually display these things and then I box it and save it after a while. So at the moment, everything is boxed,
okay,
but it goes on display in my office quite proudly
really
for a
cool
while.
That's mm-hmm. really cool. Yeah, I have a lot of that stuff from when the kids were young. Alex is kind of the more sentimental of the two kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he's learning how to play golf. So we're starting to golf together. So he got me a really nice golf shirt. And the pattern on the golf shirt is a bourbon glass with a golf ball and a golf flag in it.
Oh, well,
which
how
I thought was really cool, right? And then he got me this little display case, like you would put a baseball or something like that in it, and it's empty because we're about ready to remodel our kitchen, and they're going to demolish the pantry, which is where we had the height measured, you know, on the wall.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So he wants to help me take out the very top part of the height measurement and mount it in the display case.
That's nice. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, so that we have that, you know, going forward. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Very good.
And, you know, it's, yeah, I have found that as the kids have gotten older that I value Father's Day more. Now, the Father's Day did not start out great because my fur children caused problems. I got up early. I always get up early. Alex said, hey, could you make some seafood chowder? I know you don't want to cook, but I've really been craving your seafood chowder. So I got up early and I started that. And I let Henry, he's our yellow lab who is 13, which somebody told me that equates to 90 in dog years. I don't know how accurate that is. He's an old man. He's losing his sight. He's losing his hearing. Doesn't walk very well, but he does a morning walkabout, and he usually is gone for about 15 minutes and then barks to come back inside. An hour and a half later, he still wasn't home.
Uh-oh.
And that is highly unusual for him. Sandra was still sleeping, and now I'm walking around the neighborhood. I even got in the car, and I drove around the neighborhood and then drove, like, the street outside of our development because your mind wanders to all types of things, especially when you have an older dog. And so now my neighbors see me walking through their backyards. Now everybody in the neighborhood is out looking for Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And he isn't to be seen anywhere. Now I get Sandra up. We're starting to panic a little bit. And I was like, well, listen, I'm going to put Holly on the leash. She's our three-year-old English lab, tiny little thing. And I just kept saying, where's your brother? Where's your brother? Find Henry's. Find Henry. And she led me all around the neighborhood, nose in the grass, and then around through my neighbor's yards and then out into the middle of the cul-de-sac. And almost 2 hours later now, she's sniffing around, and he just comes sauntering up the sidewalk.
Hey, hey, what's up, guys?
He's like, what are you doing? Am I in trouble? You never come out looking for me. And, you know, Holly's all waggy. She goes, you know, there's her brother. And he just comes walking into the backyard, up the deck steps, inside, and lays down.
Thanks for like, nap.
I don't know what you guys were all worried about, but I have no idea where he was.
He must have gotten into something. He must have found something interesting to sniff.
He was out eating deer poo or something like that in the neighborhood, I'm sure. Thank goodness he didn't roll into anything.
Hmm.
But that's how Father's Day started.
Well, glad it had a happy ending, for sure.
Yeah, definitely had a happy ending. All right, it is 627 on New Jersey 101.5. Jen's going to have the latest on this protester that was hit by a car outside Delaney Hall. And then what is with the European obsession with ranch dressing? That's all coming up on New Jersey 101.5. 627, good morning. 638 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Don't forget, coming up later this morning, 10:15 with Judy and EJ. We got a big announcement. You're going to want to be tuned in to that. I don't know if you saw all over social media. I've been seeing these for a while on Facebook and Twitter. These European individuals that are coming here for the World Cup matches. And they are touring all around New Jersey trying our food. And they have fallen in love with it. One of my favorites was, I think it was a guy maybe from Russia or Poland, walked into a deli and said, give me your best sandwich. And the guy's like, what do you like? He's like, just give me your best sandwich. So he gives him a chicken parm and he takes a bite of it and, you know, almost falls down in ecstasy because he's never had anything like it before. And then it started with a woman, I believe from Sweden or Norway, posted a video of her first time eating ranch dressing and she called it crack. And then apparently it's become a thing to the point where the TSA had to announce to international travels that you cannot put full-size bottles of ranch dressing in your carry-on because it's considered a liquid. So it has to be small enough. And the photos of the oversized liquid bin at Newark Airport is filled with ranch dressing and Dijon mustard. Those are overflowing with it. It's even gotten to the point where Kraft, the Kraft food company, has come out with TSA compliant ranch dressing packages, packaged with the letters on it or the words on it, TSA compliant, so that people can gather this stuff up. Do you like ranch dressing? Is ranch dressing that big a deal? I have to tell you, because I grew up in the Buffalo area, and of course there's that whole debate, do you eat blue cheese or ranch with your chicken wings? And there is only one answer. I'm not a fan of ranch dressing. I don't like it. I think it tastes like a spoonful of sugar. I've occasionally used ranch seasoning in some sauces that I've made, but the stuff that comes as a salad dressing, I can't imagine eating a salad drenched in ranch dressing. And I had a good friend of mine growing up who liked to dip his pizza in ranch dressing. Cheese and pepperoni pizza drenched in ranch dressing. Again, I can't even imagine that. Are you pro-ranch or are you anti-ranch? 1-800-283-1015. I think of all the condiments, we could probably afford to get rid of ranch dressing. Now, Sandra does like ranch from time to time, especially if we're doing a big wedge salad. Now, typically, a wedge salad is served with blue cheese, with crumbled bacon and the crumbled blue cheese on the top of it and then blue cheese dressing. That's how I like a traditional steakhouse wedge salad. She doesn't like blue cheese, so she wants ranch dressing. So, yes, it is in the house. And my son one time had some friends over, and I made chicken wings for them, and they asked for ranch dressing. I promptly threw them out of my house. They're not allowed to return. That is sacrilege to put ranch dressing on chicken wings. Are you pro-ranch or anti-ranch? And what is it with the European obsession? And have you ever been overseas? Have you been traveling somewhere and you've tried something? You're like, we can't get this in the U.S. I have to figure out a way to get it home. I think the only time that that's happened when we've been traveling is the coffee. Like sometimes if we're in the Dominican Republic and also in Mexico as well, their coffee is just a different flavor. It's just, it's strong, but it's not overpowering. It just has a really rich flavor to it. So we have purchased bags of coffee to bring back, or coffee beans to bring back. But the obsession with ranch dressing. And if you're somebody that wants to defend ranch on chicken wings, I'm happy to hear your argument, because it is about dialogue and it is about having conversations and it is about, you know, different strokes for different folks. But don't ask for it at my house, because you won't get it with your chicken wings. And I make my own blue cheese dressing. So I will start out with a big block of blue cheese and I will make my own dressing. And that's what we serve at our house. And I think my son secretly still has ranch dressing from time to time on his chicken wings, but he knows better than to try that at my house. And even my friends that will come over, they know that you do not ask for ranch dressing. You know how some bars have a swear jar? So if you say a bad word, you got to put a dollar or, you know, some coins into the swear jar. I think I might put a ranch dressing thing, ranch dressing jar, penalty jar, out at the tiki bar. If you ask for ranch dressing on something, you got to put a dollar in the penalty jar. It just doesn't go together. But the videos on social media are very, very funny, and the obsession with it. And I have heard from other Europeans that one of the things that takes them by surprise when they are eating in the United States is the amount of sugar that is in everything, especially bread, right? I mean, we don't eat fast food. I don't eat fast food. I'm not saying that doesn't taste good, but it's been so long since I've eaten that highly processed food. And I'm not as obsessive as Bill is about that. But if I eat a McDonald's hamburger or something like that, the bread just tastes like a mouthful of sugar. Are you pro or anti-ranch? Give me a call at 1-800-283-1015 or drop me a comment on the app chat. We are going to get an update of weather and traffic coming up at the top of the hour. We'll have the latest on the violence that returned to Delaney Hall. We'll talk about that. And then later this morning, we'll have the CEO of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association as more companies again are leaving New Jersey. That's coming up right after the 8 o'clock news. It's 6:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom, and conversations you actually care about. New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
6:52 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill's off today. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Don't forget, we got the big announcement with Judy and EJ coming up at 10:15 this morning. You're not going to want to miss it. Wow, on the app chat, a lot of very strong opinions about ranch dressing, and I love Angry Chef and Barnegat says, it's the work of the devil. Blue cheese is the best. Anti-ranch Mike in Weirdtown, have you ever read the ingredients label? Almost impossible to find a clean ranch dressing. Yet you have folks like Ash and Howell who say, I love ranch. Somebody needs to tell these guys and gals they can go to BJ's and get giant seasoning packs and just add sour cream and sugar. And Browns Mills says, I just discovered ranch dressing 2 months ago. So good. Ew. And yes, I Troy in Columbus, I knew a guy that put ranch dressing on pizza. And he would dip the slice into the ranch dressing, including the crust. The crust would get dipped into ranch dressing like a breadstick. And I'm not a fan of ranch. And I don't know. And Cindy, I've never tried to make ranch dressing because I just don't like it. So I haven't made homemade ranch. And I couldn't even tell you what is in ranch dressing. But it is the obsession of Europe. And the photo at TSA at Newark, if you've ever made the mistake and tried to bring a water bottle through TSA, you know, they have those big, they're not trash cans, they're like overflow bins. And, you know, you either finish the water and throw the container in there, or you just throw the container in there. And then if they find stuff in your carry-on that is too big, that's where it goes. It goes into that bin. And the bin was overflowing with ranch dressing. And I got to give it to Kraft. Kraft Foods, they saw this trend and they immediately responded and they started stocking at all of the shops at Newark Airport now ranch packets that are TSA compliant. And they're hanging there in, you know, those little bodegas or delis that they have all around. And it says on the labeling, TSA compliant ranch dressing. Take it all. Get it all out. Coming up at 7 o'clock, what one Jersey Shore town is doing to prevent pop-up parties. And it seems to be working. Jen has that in her news, weather, and traffic update here in about 4 minutes. And then I'll have the latest on what was going on at Delaney Hall on Father's Day. A woman gets hit by a car right by the entrance to the ICE detention facility. That's all still ahead on New Jersey 101.5, 6:55. Good morning.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 7:09, Monday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott. Bill off today. He'll be back tomorrow. And yes, we have that big announcement. You want to be tuned in at 10:15 this morning with Judy and EJ. We're going to answer a lot of questions at 10:15 this morning that you have had. So you want to be tuned in. You may have heard in the news with Jen already that the volatile scenes erupted again outside Delaney Hall. They were supposed to be peaceful protests for Father's Day. Unfortunately, there is evidence once again that the protesters clashed with federal agents outside Delaney Hall in Newark. And there is video that is circulating widely on social media of a protester that was hit by a car. Now, there is a gated entrance into Delaney Hall that employees use. It looks like it was outside of that gate. So you have a woman with an upside-down American flag that she is waving, standing in the middle of the driveway. And this red car, red sports car, I'm not a car expert, looks like it might be Mustang-ish. Red sports car, anyway. turns into the driveway. She's got her back to the car as she's waving the flag. And as the car comes in, the right front fender strikes her. It looks like almost in her buttocks, in her behind. She slumps over the car a little bit. And then as she falls, the video cuts out. So you don't really see what happened. The witnesses didn't really shed a whole lot of light onto it. We're told, or NJ.com is reporting, that she was a protester that traveled from Minnesota to join in the protests of Delaney Hall. Now, you don't like to see anybody injured, but you're not supposed to be standing in the driveway. And if you're not paying attention and you get hit, I don't see how it's the car's fault. Now, Newark police haven't commented. ICE hasn't commented. But the video, you're going to see it. If you're browsing social media today or you're watching any of the TV news, you're going to see that video. And it is a snapshot in time, and it doesn't show what happened afterwards. So I don't know who, if anybody, rendered aid, if she was severely injured. It was a fairly low-speed collision, but anytime car meets human, human loses. And I'm having a hard time feeling bad for this woman because she was where she wasn't supposed to be, wasn't paying attention to the environment around her, and then immediately now all of the anti-ICE protesters are like, see, now they're just going to start running us down with their vehicles. The report was it was an employee that was reporting to work. Newark police have been told you can't respond anymore, so you can't clear them out like the state police did when things got really nasty. So Newark police are not allowed to assist. You had, for the most part, ICE agents not really responding, by most reports, to the protests that were going on outside Delaney Hall on Father's Day. I would assume that if this was a significant injury, we would have heard that. Ron and Brick, I understand your point here that you have to be in control of your car. But I think
at all times,
at all times, I understand. And that's why usually if there's a rear end accident, it's the driver that rear ends you that winds up being charged. But do you not think that this woman has any responsibility for being where she was not supposed to be and not paying attention?
Well, I'm sure if she could do it over again, she'd look behind her back. But, you know, a lot of things are going on at that time. And, you know, it's hard to figure out what's going to happen next, you know. But as far as the driver, it's a careless driving. That's what you usually get, careless driving.
It's possible.
Reckless driving.
Or reckless.
You know,
We have right now, and Ron, I appreciate you bringing up that point. And you're right. You are responsible for maintaining control of your vehicle at all times. And it is possible. Yeah, who knows? Maybe the driver of that car will wind up being charged. But if she wasn't standing where she wasn't supposed to be in the middle of the driveway, then she wouldn't have been hit. That's the bottom line. Now, they're going to conflate this, and it's going to be the next horrible thing that happened outside of Delaney Hall. And even as Ron pointed out, the caller, if she had to do it all over again, she probably wouldn't do it. Or maybe she would, because those types of incidents fit that narrative. Do you think she's to blame for getting hit? 1-800-283-101.5. We'll talk more about that after we get an update of weather and traffic. That's 3 minutes away. It's 7:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
7:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He will be back tomorrow. Jealous. Bill got to spend Father's Day with both of his kids. And it's tough when you have kids that live away and far away. My kids don't live as far away as Bill's do on the left coast and in England. But my older boy is in Florida and very happy to be there. I don't think he's ever coming back to New Jersey, and that's fine. Wasn't able to come up this month. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see him in August. I think Father's Day becomes more special as your kids hit certain milestones, right? I mean, and it's the younger one is about ready to move into his own apartment, first time living on his own, starting a new job, and it's just it was nice to kick back on the deck and just sit and talk and catch up and talk about the future and you know, what do you need for the apartment? Do you need a grill? You know, we've got furniture in the basement that you can have, and I'll put together stuff to outfit your kitchen. And it's a cool time. And that's what Father's Day should be all about. But you had a bunch of folks that decided they were going to spend Father's Day outside protesting at Delaney Hall. And you have a woman who was waving an upside down American flag. NJ.com is reporting she was from Minnesota and had traveled here to join the protests. She was standing in the driveway to the entrance of Delaney Hall, waving the flag and with her back turned to the street. So she, A, wasn't paying attention, B, was somewhere where she wasn't supposed to be, and then C, got hit by the car. And as a caller had pointed out earlier, and I understand the argument, you are required to be in control of your vehicle at all times. And if this was an accident that had happened anywhere else, it is quite possible that that driver could be charged with something if you're a police officer and you know what those charges might be. Now, the video cuts out just as the car goes by and the woman, she kind of is slumped over the right front fender. And then looks like she's falling to the ground, and then that's when the video cuts out. So it did not appear to my eyes like she was severely injured, but I don't know that. My argument would be, well, you're an idiot. You're standing somewhere where you shouldn't be standing and not paying attention to your surroundings. Does that excuse being hit by a car? No, but there has to be some culpability on that as well. And I don't know what happens next because we haven't heard from Newark police and we haven't heard from ICE. Now, our Dan Alexander in the newsroom has been in pretty good contact with them, and we just haven't heard anything. So as soon as we do hear something, then, you know, we will go ahead and pass it along to you. And, you know, as Stephen, who's Palm Coast, I guess, Florida, writes on the app chat, Jersey laws are made to help and protect the criminal. Let's be honest about it. And, Stephen, you're not wrong. Many of the quote-unquote reforms that we've seen, certainly over the last 8 years of Phil Murphy and now continuing, perhaps even worse, with new Governor Mikey Sherrill, there are policies and laws that are in effect that benefit the criminal, not the victim. And could you make the argument that the woman who was protesting in an area where she shouldn't have been was a criminal? I don't know that I'm ready to go that far because I'm a big believer in protesting. You want to protest something? Great. That is your right as an American citizen. You have the right to peaceably protest. But when things turn violent or you escalate situations to the point where people are getting hurt, even if it's protesters, then you've lost that ability. You're not allowed to do that anymore. And you should be subject to charges. Coming up at 7:30, wait until you hear about this embezzlement case involving a Monmouth County youth sports league. Jen has that as part of her news, weather, and traffic update coming up in 3 minutes. A reminder coming up right after the 8 o'clock news. We'll talk to the CEO of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association as more companies are fleeing New Jersey. And if there's any way to stop the employment hemorrhaging. It's 727 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. 738 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He's back with us again tomorrow, taking some well-deserved time off and spending it with his kids over Father's Day. Somebody sent me this. I don't know if this is true. It sounds true, so I'm going to repeat it anyway. So in New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul, she is a socialist progressive Democrat, and the legislature is dominated by the same in Albany. And apparently they passed a law that erases the word father from New York law entirely and replaced it with non-gestating parent. So I hope you had a wonderful non-gestating parent day yesterday. It is absurd enough to be true. I don't know if that is true or not. I don't know if you heard this story in Jen's news about the Freehold Township guy that's accused of stealing more than $73,000 from the Freehold Township Little League organization while serving as its president. 42-year-old Donald Petito is charged with third-degree theft by unlawful taking or disposition. And it was a Crime Stoppers tip that launched the investigation by the Monmouth County Prosecutor's Office and their Financial Crimes and Special Prosecutions Unit. And, you know, presumed innocent until proven guilty, understood. But this is something that happens more and more. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, are you involved in youth sports? Has anything like this happened in your organization? And do you worry about that? I was a youth football coach for 25 years and ran a number of leagues and had to deal with cash and, you know, checks and finances. We had a very strict board that was set up because we were also registered as a 401c charity, charitable organization, and had a board and a separate treasurer and everything else, and every dollar was accounted for. But then one of the organizations that I ran for a number of years, the treasurer was recently arrested and charged with stealing more than $1,700 from the organization. And one of the guys that used to help me out in that football organization, I saw him a couple weeks ago at a Dunkin' Donuts on a Sunday, and he's the one who told me about it. You know, did you hear about this? And it's unfortunate when that happens. I will tell you that I miss being around the players. I miss the practices. I miss the game. I miss the instructional aspect of it. I do not at all miss the bureaucracy and the politics and the parents in youth sports. I don't miss that aspect of it at all. And it's probably been 15 years since I've coached. I will occasionally still see kids that have come through my program, and they're grown adults and married and have children of their own and everything, and still have wonderful memories of being on the field with these kids. But we had very strict rules about how the organization was run, because in a lot of cases you're dealing with cash money during registration when the parents are paying the registration fees, a lot of them paid by cash. There was always another person from the organization, and somebody from the board that was sitting right there so that there was a record of that. At the concession stand, which is where we made a lot of our money to support the program, there was always another board member that was there as we were cashing out after the day. There was no waiting until tomorrow to reconcile the books. The books were done right there, open up for the parents or anybody else that ever wanted to take a look at it. We had very strict rules of conduct when you were around the players. So keep in mind, this is football. There's a lot of equipment on a football player. And anytime that equipment had to be adjusted or they needed help with something like that, there was always a parent or another coach there. You were never alone with one of the players, ever, 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 ever. That was the unbreakable rule. So it was all about safety and responsibility. And, you know, it's a shame that it has come down to that where you see cases where you've got officials that are involved with the money, I understand the temptation. But this particular case in Freehold Township, where the guy is accused of stealing more than $73,000. Look, as most of the football programs don't make a lot of money. There's not a lot of money to cover expenses. It's barely enough to cover expenses, especially, you know, one of your biggest expenses is your liability insurance. But also the equipment for football is very expensive, whether you're buying new or you're having it, you know, reconditioned. And we did a reconditioning of equipment every year. We rotated it through. So the helmets would be 1 year. The shoulder pads would be another year. The soft pads would be the next year. So that we never had anything on a child in terms of safety equipment that was more than 3 years old or 3 years from being recertified. But I've never been involved in the operation of youth baseball. But I'm told that there is a tremendous amount of money that is involved in youth baseball. I mean, $73,000 from the Little League organization, I don't think in all of the years that I ran the football program that we collectively had $73,000. Where did that money come from? That's crazy to me. Are you involved in youth sports? Have you ever seen anything like this? Did the politics drive you out of the organization as it did in part me? 7:45 it is on New Jersey 101.5. I'll have some more details of this story. It's very troubling after we get an update of weather and traffic. 7:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
From the shore to your street, we're talking about what matters to you. New Jersey 101.5.
7:52 it is on New Jersey 101.5. All right, coming up right after the 8 o'clock news, we'll talk to Michelle Sikirka from the New Jersey Business and Industry Association about yet another company in New Jersey that is shrinking here, growing elsewhere. And the list goes on and on and on. And we have about 8 days to go before a new budget has to be signed into law in New Jersey. And your affordability governor, Mikey Sherrill, has New Jersey's economy hemorrhaging jobs at a rate that should alarm you. And if you are among the many layoffs, thousands and thousands of them that have been announced already this year, I'd like to hear from you in the 8 o'clock hour and what it is that you are going to do next. And do you worry that you are next? I mean, even in industries that are tied to financial services, that are tied to hospitality, that are tied to air travel, these large companies, they don't want to do business in New Jersey anymore. And this idea that, you know, well, New Jersey offers so many amazing things that people will pay the higher prices for it, I think we're starting to see the breaking point on that. I think we're starting to see the, I don't know, beginning of the end of the beginning. I don't know. Because you are going to continue to have, and in New Jersey, you have to issue WARN notices. So if you're a company that plans to consolidate, move out, and job losses are a part of it, you have to tell the state. And you can see at NJ1015.com the list of all the companies that have already left. And somebody said to me, you know, it's not going to be long before you're going to see a mainstay heritage company like Johnson & Johnson pack up and leave. Could you imagine that? And what is being done about it? And you have some outliers in the legislature, including Democratic Assemblywoman Heather Simmons, who has said, we got to stop raising taxes. We need to grow the economy. You don't grow the economy by taxing businesses into oblivion. Yet that is the default. So that's coming up after the 8 o'clock news. We do have World Cup games at the Meadowlands and in Philadelphia it could cause another commuter nightmare. What you need to know about it, Jen has all of those details coming up when we get an update of news, weather, and traffic. That is less than 5 minutes away. It's 7:55 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 8:09. I'm Eric Scott. Bill's off today. He is back with us tomorrow. And don't forget, big announcement is coming up at 10:15 this morning with Judy and EJ. You don't want to miss it. Have you been part of the mass layoffs in New Jersey so far this year, or have you lost your job in the last year? What are you doing? And are you worried that maybe you're next? 1-800-283-1015. JetBlue cited area airport costs as a key driver in pulling back some of their operations from Newark. And just look at some of these companies on the list. Is Samsung abandons New Jersey for Texas, ExxonMobil, which had been here for over a century, gone to Texas, Mercedes has left, now JetBlue relocating to Florida, and the list goes on and on and on. And if this is not alarming to you, it should be, because it is underscoring how business unfriendly New Jersey is. Michelle Sikirka is the president and CEO of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association and joins us now on New Jersey 101.5. And Michelle, I'm glad you can spend a couple of minutes with you, because when you start looking at this list and you look at the number of layoffs that we've experienced already this year and in industries that we thought may have been bulletproof, I don't know how you can classify it as anything other than alarming, right?
Yeah, good morning, Eric. You know, unfortunately, this is a tale as old as time in New Jersey. You know, for far too long, New Jersey comes up at the bottom of the list of best places to do business, right? We wind up at the bottom of that list. Actions here in New Jersey have consequences, and we see that. You know, for decades, we failed to provide predictability, reliability, consistency, the things that business needs to invest. We change the rules regularly, whether it's tax rules, rules that govern how you do business, how you manage your employees, how you build, how you operate. You know, and recently we've seen these like 180-degree shifts. Like, remember, the corporate business tax. Right. We had sent a message that that was going to sunset for our largest employers. But what Governor Murphy then do? He turned around and imposed that corporate transit fee, changed the rules of the game. We see this climate superfund bill tomorrow up for yet another hearing. Right. These are companies in New Jersey that had legal permits to operate, to provide essential products and services to the state. And now we want to go back and penalize them with assessments. The ABC test. Let's change how we classify employees here in the state of New Jersey and all those other workplace rules that, you know, when you're changing rules every day, you're costing business money and you're signaling that you don't recognize their role as job creators here in the state of New Jersey, and you don't appreciate and respect what they do for our economy.
Well, I mean, that's very well said, Michelle. And I, you know, this was not an issue that was created overnight. I mean, this has been building for years, if not decades. But is there one thing, if you could sit Governor Sherrill and the legislative leaders down and say, listen, give us this one thing to stop the bleeding, what would that be?
Well, that's a really tough question, right? Because one thing we can definitely do is send some positive messaging that changes on the way. But the key is we need to follow through on that. So I'm going to give you an example. That corporate transit fee I talked about a moment ago, right? That corporate transit fee is due to expire in 2.5 years. Let's show now what we're doing to fill the gap in those taxes. What can we do tomorrow? We can kill that climate superfund bill. That would send a massive message that we mean to do something different here in the state of New Jersey versus take these companies further down a rabbit hole and invite them to leave the state of New Jersey rather than stay here and invest. That's the one immediate thing we can do. The other immediate thing, kill those ABC rules. Go back to the drawing board. Go back to the IRS test. Let businesses continue to recognize the fact that gig work and the idea of gig work, an independent contractor, is different today than it was even 4 or 5 years ago. Let's embrace those types of jobs. Let's enable and empower the workforce and the employers who make those jobs possible.
Well, we're 8 days away from having to have a new budget signed into law in New Jersey. And I know you've been, you know, lobbying hard for a pro-business agenda. Are you getting a positive response from the president of the Senate and the Assembly Speaker and Governor Mikey Sherrill? Because those three individuals are the ones that are crafting this budget.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Remember, these are new dynamics. This is a new governor. And how, you know, this budget is going to give us an idea of how they all work together. What can these three policymakers do for New Jersey business in this next budget? They can kill those three new taxes that are in the budget. There's a good start. Let's send another message that we care about our job creators, right? There are three taxes hidden in this budget. Without getting weedy on it, we can kill those three taxes outright, or at least reform them to the point that it's not going to negatively impact our job creators here in the state of New Jersey.
Michelle Sekirka, always a pleasure to spend some time with you, President and CEO with the New Jersey Business and Industry Association. Hopefully somebody's paying attention in a leadership role, Michelle. Thank you. It is 8:15 on New Jersey 101.5. We'll get an update of weather and traffic. And were you laid off this year? Were you laid off in the last year? And what are you doing now? And do you worry that things are going to continue heading down this path? That's coming up next on New Jersey 101.5. It's 8:15. Good morning.
Live personalities, local insights, and traffic and weather updates every 15 minutes. Stay connected with New Jersey 101.5.
It is 8:22 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He is back tomorrow. And my thanks again to Michelle Sekirka from the NJBIA. You know, it is alarming when you look at how business unfriendly New Jersey has become. And, you know, whether it's Verizon, Novartis, J&J, Prudential, JP Morgan Chase, all announcing layoffs. As of June 1st, there were over 7,500 new layoffs announced, and they keep on coming. Businesses are voting with their feet. And here's the thing, because, and all due respect to Michelle and organizations like the NJBIA, but I almost wonder if you're shouting into the wind at this point and if anybody in Trenton is even listening, because they don't seem to want to change anything. They seem to only make it worse. And businesses have gotten so discouraged at this point that they're not even fighting it anymore. They're just packing up and they're leaving and they're taking jobs with them. Our friend Ron Urban with Advanced Solar and Energy Solutions and hosts the Energy Show on Sunday mornings here on New Jersey 101.5. Designer, builder, joins us now on New Jersey 101.5. And you know, Ron, I know you're impacted by the changing building regulations, especially with the work that you do, but I've heard all the way down to even small contractors can't navigate this anymore.
So I've been in business for 40 years. I have an electrical license, building inspector, all kinds of licensing. For 40 years, I've been fighting with them, and no, I'm not the best on a computer. Why can't they computerize this? The towns, every time, and they make it more difficult. The inspectors are some dopes that don't even know what they're doing, half of them, excuse my language,
yeah.
And they just bust your chops. Oh, you got to change a letter on your plan. It takes another 21 days. By the way, in the solar industry, there's the building department, you have to go through the PSE&G, New Jersey Clean Energy. And when they change something, they don't tell you. So your customers see this on and on. You got a problem. You didn't do this. You didn't do that. It's so simple for any business to computerize itself. The paperwork that you see in these places up to the ceiling is antiquated BS beyond them. Wildest dreams.
Yeah, I get it. And it's you know, the one thing business owners hate is uncertainty. And there's so much uncertainty surrounding all of this stuff. And then you have the additional paperwork. I don't know why anybody would want to own a business in New Jersey at this point, Ron, anymore. I really don't.
By the way, this paperwork costs us money.
Yeah.
So, by the way, if a job's not going smooth, the customer thinks you're doing this. You're a crappy contractor.
Right.
And you just got to keep going up and back at these guys. And it's just unbelievable what they ask for sometimes. It's insanity.
Well,
but it should be just think about this. Boom, send it, it's done. Boom. They have paperwork, piles. Just think of a big project. They might have like your garage full of plans. It's so insane.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't make it easy, Ron. And I appreciate you pointing that out. And thanks for calling New Jersey 101.5. Ron's the host of the Energy Show Sunday morning here on New Jersey 101.5. I mean, I was talking to my contractor. I'm using a father-son family business to redo our kitchen, A to Z improvements in Lawrence. And I was talking to the guys that run that company, and that was their first complaint was, you know, the red tape that you got to cut through to be able to do all of that stuff. And the homeowners often don't understand that. And then they wind up blaming the contractor. I mean, everywhere you turn in New Jersey, there's a barrier to doing business, growing the economy, and creating jobs. Why? It's insanity. Coming up on the half hour, we have World Cup games at the Meadowlands and in Philly. There's yet another big tax that they're talking about on New Jersey businesses. And your layoff story, if you want to share it. And you can be anonymous if you want. 1-800-283-1015. Jen's got news, weather, and traffic in 3 minutes on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. It is 8:38 now on New Jersey 101.5, Monday morning in the Great Garden State. I'm Eric Scott, in for Bill today. Bill will be back tomorrow with us. And don't forget, 10:15 this morning with Judy and EJ. We got a big announcement on the air. You'll find out what it is in just a couple of hours here. Michelle Sekirka from the NJBIA was on just after the 8 o'clock news. We're talking about layoffs and the business-unfriendly climate. And you think about it, you know, when you have kids that are growing up in New Jersey and you want them to have good-paying jobs, you want them to have a good career, you want them to have a strong future, and then you look at almost 8,000 layoffs announced already this year in industries that we thought were bulletproof, and you continue to have this anti-business climate. I mean, you look at it as it's not just anti-business, it's anti-economy. And what the Democratic leadership over the last 20-plus years has done to the business community in New Jersey, the backbone of this state, the industries that are going to allow our kids to get good-paying jobs and stay here if they choose to, is nearly criminal. And you have elitists that are running the legislature that are so far out of touch with reality. And, you know, I think I mentioned this. I certainly mentioned this on Jersey Thing, my show at night. I don't know if we've talked about it on the morning show, but Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin has just become such an arrogant, elitist snob. This is the antithesis, Coughlin is, of an individual who works for the betterment of New Jersey. If you want to laugh or you want to be disgusted, go to Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin's social media pages. Go to his Facebook and his Instagram pages and look at what he's posting. This is a guy that is trying so desperately to appear like he's one of us, like he's one of you. And it's a caricature. It's disgusting and it's insulting. Even his stupid Happy Father's Day message that he posted. You know, he is everything that is wrong with New Jersey personified. And as the Assembly Speaker, he is one of the most powerful elected officials in the state. And he has done nothing in his tenure as Speaker other than stick it to the middle class that he claims to champion and drive businesses out of New Jersey. And you can't argue that he's done otherwise. And then you have the clown Nick Scutari, who is the president of the Senate. And he's just, I don't know what he is. He's one of those old school Union County kiss the ring Democrats whose only interest is the trappings of power. And the amount of money collectively that the two of these clowns have cost you in a leadership role. And they're both in safe districts. They'll never be voted out. They might as well have lifetime tenure. And you look at what's happening now as we come down to the budget, which has to be signed into law in 8 days. And I don't know where negotiations stand. You did have the affordability governor, Mikey Sherrill, coming in saying, hey, this is my budget proposal. Don't put more spending into it. And they went, yeah. And you watch what they're going to put in. I think Bill and I think we bet on this. Did we bet on this? That it was the how much additional pork or Christmas tree spending was going to be added into this budget? Did we set the over-under at $500 million? Something like that? I mean, if it follows through, you'll see another $500 to $900 million in spending added into the budget. And Mikey Sherrill then turned around and said, okay, but there has to be corresponding cuts in the budget. And Coughlin and Scutari went, yeah, whatever. Will she fold? Let's find out. We're going to find out. Could we be looking at a government shutdown like we did when Corzine was governor and Democrats were in control of the legislature? I don't know. I think Coughlin is just so arrogant, elitist, and out of touch that he would have a hissy fit and shut the state down just to try to prove that he's in charge. He is that kind of a small man. What horrible leadership we have in New Jersey. And he's chief among them. He's one of those guys where you get to, you see his face on social media when he puts these stupid little videos together. He put one together the other day where he was trying to pretend that he was the everyman and he was getting ready to shoot, I don't know, some kind of, I don't know if he's shooting a TV commercial, if he's shooting an update, or I don't know what he was doing. But he's sitting there in his tailor's suit and, you know, he's got the little thing around his neck so they can do his makeup. And he's like, oh, I'm just an ordinary, everyday guy. I'm just working hard for the people of New Jersey. Yuckity, yuck, yuck, yuck. He's disgusting. Just disgusting. And that's what we keep electing in New Jersey. I don't blame you if you're not digging in and you're thinking about getting out. All due respect to Bill. I love the fact that Bill is the champion of digging in. I'm 180 degrees from that. If you can get out, get out. Speaking of which, there was an interesting question that was posed. If you could magically take one thing from New Jersey when you leave, what would it be? Whether you're heading to Florida or Carolina or the Midwest or you're leaving the country entirely, when you leave New Jersey, if there was one thing you could magically take with you, what would it be? We'll talk about that after the 9 o'clock news. We'll get an update of traffic and weather coming up here in 3 minutes. It's 8:45 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
It is 8:52 now on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He's back with us tomorrow. every once in a while, things get posted on the app chat that just make me smile and make me laugh. Mike in Bradley Beach was a fan of my anti-Craig Coughlin rant. And he used a word that I love this word. And I don't think it's used nearly enough. The word is feckless. F-E-C-K-L-E-S-S, feckless. And he referred to Craig Coughlin as feckless. And that is a perfect, perfect description. And the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines feckless as weak, ineffective, worthless, or irresponsible. certainly, Craig Coughlin is all of the, well, not all of those things. He is worthless and irresponsible. There is no doubt that he is feckless in that vein. You can't claim that he's weak and ineffective. He has been very effective in promoting an agenda that keeps him and his fellow Democrats and socialists in power. He is not weak. He wields enormous power in the legislature and among Democrats in general in New Jersey. But for taxpayers, for businesses, for those of us that are trying to just pay our bills, he is absolutely worthless and irresponsible and feckless. And you're going to see that as we sprint to the finish line and adopt a budget that I guarantee is not going to be good for you. And it will bring us further down the pathway to the abandonment of New Jersey. On Friday's Jersey Thing program, we were talking to a financial advisor who is a fiduciary. And a fiduciary basically is somebody who, by law, must do what is in your best interest. They can't take a cookie-cutter approach. They have to look at you as a whole individual and make recommendations based on what is best for you. And one of the questions that I asked him was, as a fiduciary, can you in good conscience recommend to your clients that people stay in New Jersey, that it is in their best financial interest to remain in New Jersey in retirement? And his response was, unfortunately not. No, I can't recommend that. If you are leaving New Jersey and you could magically take anything with you from the Garden State, what would it be? We'll talk about that after Jen gives us an update of news, weather, and traffic. Europeans obsessed with ranch dressing. It's causing a problem at the airport. We'll have that and then more with you on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
When severe weather strikes, New Jersey 101.5 is your trusted source, providing critical alerts you can count on. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePue.
Parks Casino, New Jersey. Chime time is 9:09 on a Monday morning in the Great Garden State. And it is a great state. I'm Eric Scott. Bill is off today. He is back tomorrow. We've been all over the gamut today. And, you know, it's unfortunate that people like Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin have made it his own personal mission to drive as many residents and businesses out of New Jersey as humanly possible. I wonder if, you know, when he sits in his posh office at his law firm with a state trooper whose salary is being paid by your tax dollars sitting outside in case somebody happened to bust through the door and want to do him harm. You also pay to drive him all around the state, by the way. Wherever he goes, he's got a taxpayer-funded driver, security, SUV, all of that, all the trappings with power. Those are the things that they are most interested in. Does he keep a tally? Do you think that there's one of those hidden tally boards in the office at his law firm where you kind of slide it over or you open this door, this secret door, and he's like, ooh, I killed 8,000 jobs today. Let's see if we can make it 9. You know, maybe he keeps a secret tally of how many tax hikes he's actually shepherded through the legislature. How many people that he's driven out of New Jersey. Do you think Craig Coughlin's motto is, will the last person to leave New Jersey please turn off the lights? Maybe. How high can I possibly drive your utility bills? What other anti-business tax or policy can I shepherd through the assembly? You know, he's almost kind of like a Mr. Burns type caricature now. That's who I think of when I see Craig Coughlin's face now, is Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. And if he is driving you out of New Jersey, and there was something that you could take with you, what's the one thing If you move out of New Jersey, when you move out of New Jersey, what is the one thing that you would want to take with you? Size doesn't matter. It could be anything. It could be a restaurant. It could be your favorite beach. It could be your favorite park. It could be your favorite whatever. What would you take with you if you could take anything? And like Paul in Tom's River, that's a great example. If I left New Jersey, I'd take the Midway sausage and pepper stand from the Seaside Heights Boardwalk. Could you imagine that? You have that on your block or in your little cul-de-sac and get a Midway sausage and pepper sandwich anytime you wanted. Just walk up there. I mean, that's the thing that is sad, really, when you think about it. I mean, all the stuff that you're being forced to leave behind. And you are being forced to leave it behind because there's just no option to stay here. And every time that Assembly Speaker Craig Coughlin or somebody else in the Democratic majority says, oh, we want to make it more affordable for people to stay here. No, you don't. Otherwise, you'd have done it already. In 20 years, all you've done is make it impossible to stay in New Jersey. And that's the unfortunate part of it. What would you miss most? Or I love going through and looking at our heat map where people are listening from. And I got to tell you, just from the last time that I filled in with Bill, there's so many more people listening in Florida and Carolinas and out into the Midwest. And in I see you all listening on the app. What do you miss most about New Jersey? Surely not the taxes. Surely not. I haven't talked to Greg in Freehold in a long time, so let's bring Greg on now. sorry, Greg, I'm ranting and raving today. I don't know why. I was cranky this morning. I shouldn't have been, but I am.
Well, we have the highest property taxes in the country, so there's a perpetual crankiness that is on the people who pay attention to these things. So there's this state is just, it's a lost cause. And as you may recall, I sent my daughters to the Carolinas with orders never to return.
Yeah.
And, but the Democrats don't care because they're not here for cost of living, to reduce the cost of living. They're here to increase it. They were, you know, and they keep winning elections. So why should they care? 25 years that the Democrats have had control of the legislature and everything's gotten worse, but they win by larger and larger margins. And they say New Jersey's the most moved out of state, but the last census showed that we increased net population. For every one person that sells a home and moves out, one person moves in. And if people were truly moving out at large numbers, you would see the value of homes going down, sale prices going down. But the opposite is true. The value and sale prices of homes are through the roof. It's outrageous how much homes cost. So this state is a lost cause. There's no way Democrats are going to do anything to lower property taxes. Their idea of reducing the cost of living is to give people raises and to create new spending programs, like the Say the Stay NJ and the Anchor program. They call that property tax relief. But in truth, it's just one more government spending program, right? They have to raise taxes on someone else to give tax relief to specified people. And it develops patronage bases.
Yeah, it's a wealth wealth redistribution is essentially what that is, Greg. And I'm glad that you pointed that out. I got to run here for traffic and weather. But when I come back here, I got a couple of different thoughts on a couple of things that you had mentioned. And that is the affordability issue and creating these entitlement programs. We'll talk about that after we get an update of weather and traffic in 3 minutes. It's 9:15 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning.
From your morning coffee to your ride home, Jersey's talking. Bill Spadia, Judy and EJ, Dominski and more, Eric Scott and Trev. Join the conversation on New Jersey 101.5.
9:22 on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott. Bill's back tomorrow. What were you and Jill just talking about, Dan? Were you talking about Wordle?
Wordle.
Wordle. Is that still a thing? People still play Wordle?
I play it every morning as little brain break. Yeah,
I did for the longest period of time, and I haven't played in a long time. And I don't want to spoil the word.
No, let's not spoil it today.
I don't want to spoil the word. But it's funny because you mentioned the word, and Jill didn't know what it meant. And I don't know, some synapse fired in the back of my brain, and I was like, I think what you're talking about is a shape.
Mm.
And it's does that, well, you're the smartest guy in the building.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, Cornell University graduate. So I, you know, you and your Ivy League, you know, outclass all of us. I often can't remember where my keys are. But every once in a while, a synapse in the back of my brain will fire off with a piece of information that I don't even know where it came from.
That's about where I am these days, just for the record. Those Ivy League days are long behind me. I just celebrated my 20th reunion, and my my synapses are not firing as well as they used to.
Well, because as we talked earlier, you have small children, and small children will slowly drain and block the synapses of anything that is not
I know what you're thinking of, the shape, which is a very similar word to what we were talking about.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's the meaning of the word today. But
okay. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, it's just, I just was, and because I'll get that look from Sandra every once in a while, and, you know, I'll have a piece of information about something, and she'll just look over, and she'll say, how do you even know that?
That's what makes Jeopardy fun to watch with the family. Like, sometimes you'll just pull an answer out of your ass and where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Yeah, exactly. And that's why she won't watch Jeopardy with me anymore.
Oof, and that's where we're at, huh?
She won't watch Jeopardy with me anymore. And it goes back to the old Game of Thrones. You know, I don't know. That's what I do. I drink and I know things. And that's... all right, it is 9:24 on New Jersey 101.5. I think it's hilarious, some of the things that you are saying when you move out of New Jersey, things that you want to take. Now, I absolutely agreed with Paul and Tom's River that the Midway Sausage and Pepper Stand on the Seaside Heights Boardwalk, I would absolutely want to take that with me. But does it always come down to this? Angry Chef and Barney gets like, pork roll is the only true answer. And then Frank and Woodbridge says, Taylor ham, and don't tell me it's pork roll. I don't want to start that debate. But yes, that is one of those things. I have friends of mine that retired and moved to Florida years ago. And when they came up and stayed with us, I made a big Jersey breakfast that included pork roll. It is pork roll. And they became obsessed with it to the point where I've gotten one of those giant pork rolls, what do they weigh, like 10 pounds? You know, the big long cylinders of pork roll, packed it in dry ice and mailed it down to Florida. I would think that that's something, given the number of New Jerseyans that now live in Florida, that you would be able to get that there. Wouldn't you be able to get that there? I would think so. I was so excited when the Wegmans supermarket started opening up in New Jersey. Because they're from Rochester, they're from upstate New York, and they would carry things that I had when I was a kid that you couldn't get anywhere else. And I will tell you, one of them is, they're terrible for you, but they're so delicious. If you're ever in Wegmans, get the pizza logs. They're in the frozen food section. They're basically pizza egg rolls. They're best when they're deep fried. You can put them in the oven or the toaster oven, but I'm telling you, they're best when they're deep fried. And that was one of the more popular items that we had as bar food at my parents' restaurant, because you would order, you'd get four of them. They would come in a little basket, and you'd have a little side of marinara sauce. And you would dip these egg rolls, and inside was the sauce and the cheese and a giant rolled piece of pepperoni. And I don't know, they don't taste the same as they did when I was a kid, but I saw them in the Wegmans at one point. I was like, ooh, I got to get a box of those. And my brother, of course, when we were watching the football game, loved having them there. My boys hadn't tried them before, so I introduced them to that. And it's one of those things where, you know, that's pretty cool that you can get that now. But what is it that you would bring with you when you finally have to pack up and leave New Jersey? Linda in Manahawkins is the entire Jersey Shore. Just drag it all south. My favorite pizza place. Every single brick. 9:27 on New Jersey 101.5. Jen's coming back here with news, traffic, and weather. And it's a sad story that is coming from the Cape May County Zoo. We'll have that and then more with you on New Jersey 101.5. It's 9:27. Good morning. 9:37, it is on New Jersey 101.5. I'm Eric Scott, in for Bill today. Bill is back tomorrow. That's great. We're going to hear the song again. Yay. You are... Sorry. You are just, what, a little over a half an hour away from our big announcement. I saw EJ in the lunchroom just a couple minutes ago. He still won't tell me what it is. We don't know, honestly. The staff has not been told. We've only been told that there is a big announcement coming up at 10:15 this morning with Judy and EJ. You would think EJ and I, because we've worked together for decades, and, you know, we're friends, but he still wouldn't share it with me because he knows I probably would come in and mistakenly share it with you. I've done that before in stream of consciousness. They're like, don't tell anybody about this. And then we'll just be talking off the top of our heads. And I got into a lot of trouble with our old boss because I had revealed a detail that I didn't even realize that I had revealed. And as soon as I came out of the studio, I got called into the boss's office. And he said, you stole our thunder. And he was very angry with me. I don't even remember what it was. I don't even remember what it was. I don't know. That's in one synapse and out the other. Bob in Middletown just posted on our app chat that the Publix supermarkets in Florida carry the Taylor brand pork roll by the box and the small loaf. I prefer case. I prefer the pork roll. Not that I want to start that whole debate because I don't want to do it. And everybody on the app chat is asking, what's the big announcement? If I knew, I couldn't tell you, but I don't know. And they certainly weren't going to tell me, but that's coming up at 10:15 this morning. Oh, I also did want to tell you, and I think I talked with Bill about this last week. We have a terrible time trying to find something to watch. Sandra and I have kind of different tastes in what we would watch on TV, even though we don't watch a lot of television. But like we will sit down and maybe watch something on the weekend. And the new Tom Hanks World War II documentary that is, I think it's History Channel. We might be streaming it off of Amazon Prime. Do a Google search for it. It is well worth the watch. And each hour, episode is an hour, and I think we're up to 9 episodes now. And I'm a World War II history buff. My father is a World War II veteran, passed many, many years ago, but he drove a Higgins boat. He was assigned to the Bayfield, which was a fast attack landing craft. And he drove troops to the beach on a Higgins boat on Omaha in the D-Day invasion and then later in the Pacific Theater. When you watch, there's a lot of black and white, but there's also a lot of color footage. And they get into a lot of the nuances of how the Hitler regime was able to come to power and the dynamic with Russia and France and a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff and nuances that you might not have been aware of. And, you know, Tom Hanks is just a spectacular actor. And, you know, it is documentary form. So it's not, if you're thinking of Band of Brothers or Masters of the Air, that type of thing, this isn't that. But the way that it's done is a new, fresh look. I mean, same facts, obviously, but a new, fresh look. And the segment that was on the Holocaust is just gut-wrenching. And how this was part of that regime almost from the start. And there was this scene in Band of Brothers, which I've watched probably 5 or 6 times now. And it was so well done. But the scene where, for the first time, American soldiers are entering a concentration camp, and I think from the standpoint of the actors, they portrayed this. It is something that is so horrifying that you can't wrap your mind around it. We accept it as a dark part of history, and it has been explored and dissected and talked about for decades. So we accept that horrific situation existed. Doesn't repulse us any less, but we accept it as an historical fact, or I should say most do. But imagine that you are an American soldier and you're walking into a concentration camp for the first time. Your brain could not possibly process what it is that you are seeing and experiencing. Because nothing could possibly prepare you for the horrors that you are now seeing. And you couldn't wrap your mind around it. And that scene in Band of Brothers where they're first walking around that camp was done so well because the disbelief on the actors' faces and the way that they carried themselves was so palpable. Laurie in Hillsborough, I know you're watching the World War II documentary with Tom Hanks. It is great. And Terry in Scotch Plains, the Cape Fear series on Apple TV. I will tell you, Sandra and I tried to watch that Saturday night. And it just, it was too much. I saw the original movie, and it was a terrifying movie. The series, the way it started, the way episode one started, it just was not the vibe we were looking for on a Saturday night. We're going to give it another try. I also like on Apple TV, there's a series called Silo. And I think they're entering season 3 because I read the books. And this follows along pretty well with the books. That's another great series. It is 9:44 now on New Jersey 101.5. Have you found something like that? I know now you're commenting Ted Lasso. I know I so want to like Ted Lasso, and I watched the first season and it was okay, and then I was like, I'm over it. I'm just over it. 9:45 on New Jersey 101.5. We'll get an update of weather and traffic, and then wrap it up. And you are a half hour away that big announcement with Judy and EJ. It's coming up at 10:15 this morning. It's 9:45 now on New Jersey 101.5.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
9:51 on New Jersey 101.5. So, Dan, you've mentioned the idea of tornado conditions. How seriously should we take this today?
I mean, any thunderstorm is potentially dangerous, right? So we got to keep an eye and an ear on changing weather conditions. And if a tornado warning is issued, you're going to know about it because your cell phone's going to go off. So that's when you have to be on the lowest level of a sturdy building and keep away from windows. You know, it's one of the most serious weather warnings that we have to offer. You know, we don't stress out too much about it. We're just prepared. Right. We know the threat is there today. We're ready to take action in case one of those really nasty storms comes along.
And the difference between a watch and a warning, because I get questions about that all the time.
So it actually depends on what kind of weather we're talking about, because winter weather watch versus warning is different than severe weather watch versus warning, just for the record.
OK,
so we will almost certainly have a watch issued later today. That just means the ingredients are there. It means the possibility is there for severe thunderstorms, including wind, hail, and tornado. That's what we mean by severe weather. Doesn't mean it's going to happen where you are. A watch usually covers, say, the entire state.
Right.
It just means you need to watch the weather. Hey, formal heads up, this is possible. Warning means this is happening in your area right now or within the next half hour to hour. That's a short fuse kind of thing, and it means you need to take action to potentially stay safe. If you're out and about, you need to get to a, you know, sturdy shelter, a sturdy building. If you're thinking about going somewhere, maybe you want to stay put for a little while because some bad weather coming in. So you got severe thunderstorm warnings, tornado warnings, you have flash flood warnings, all of which are pretty serious.
Well, I will certainly keep my ears to the radio and your forecast and your socials today.
Yep.
Because I know you will keep us updated on that. Really appreciate that, Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero. If you have not downloaded the free New Jersey 101.5 mobile app, first of all, where you been? What are you waiting for? It's one of the easiest ways to interact with us. And in addition to your cell phone going crazy when we get a weather alert, then you can just pop right onto the app and hear what Dan has to say about it. And when you hear us talking about the app chat, that's the way that you can get onto the app chat. You can push a button and call us. You can tap right onto the app chat and leave us a comment on that as well. We've had a lot of big news recently on New Jersey 101.5, and among the biggest is Big Joe Henry being accepted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame. Can't think of anyone who is more deserving for the work that he has done. And then we have another big announcement that is coming up in 20 minutes away with Judy and EJ. What will they have to say? I don't know. Nobody told me either. I got to listen just like you. Bill is back tomorrow. Jen has news, weather, and traffic. And then Judy and EJ are next. Have a great day on New Jersey 101.5.